and put it on your car and put it on the body of the car. Kingdom vehicle. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. I don't want another embarrassment. The one you have done before is bad enough. This good works now. You want to spoil it further. No, I'm serious. I'm very serious about this. In fact, the next 10 church services you go for, don't give an offering. I know you are rich. I don't want your money. Naaman came. Did Elisha collect anything from him? Did he collect anything from him? No. It's not every time God wants money. It's pastors that want money every time. God doesn't always want money. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes that's the problem. People, they come, you know, repent and have a feeling bad. All the years we were serving the devil. Now we're going to double serve God. Because if you say that, I beat somebody. Just say serving the devil was what? Bad. Simple. Only what? Acknowledge your iniquity. One of the most annoying groups of people I have seen are Christians that are trying to do good. What did I say? Christians that are trying, this is that word, trying to do good. A Christian that good is coming out of him is a good person. A Christian that good is coming out of her is a very good person. But when I see religious people trying to do good, they smell. Yes, spiritually is a bad odor. Many times I've wanted to tell some of them, will you shut up? Examples are jumping through my head. I've seen many. They go to church, maybe the church emphasizes a lot of outward works. You see one jaguda of yesterday come to you today. If you say, boy, how far? He says, as a child of God, things are never far. He starts preaching to you. They can be very annoying. I still remember when one guy was talking. He said, it is wrong for a Christian to backbite. I said, I will physically bite you now if you don't shut up. You know, I feel like I didn't tell him that literally, but you know, that's the kind of feeling you have. Don't look at this stupid religiosity that somebody is just trying to, because his sins have not left him alone. He's still trying to pay God back, so everywhere we go, we're going to be nice. So when you see a policeman wants to collect Roger, he say, in Jesus' name, nobody's going to Roger in my presence. He goes, who beat you? Why? Because he's forgotten that the Bible says, only acknowledge your iniquity. Stop trying to pay back. God says simply, in Christ Jesus, I have forgiven you. If you try to pay, it's an insult. You are telling me I don't know what I'm saying. Don't pay me back. I don't want your money. Your money is dirty. I hope you understand it. I don't want your money. Don't pay me back. I have paid. I'm telling you I have paid. What are you trying to do now? Every bit of payment you make, you are insulting the amount of settlement that I have that I've engineered on for your sake. You are insulting the blood of Jesus Christ. Only acknowledge what? Your iniquity. That's what we discussed last time. Please, we must emphasize it. See, people are trying, you know, it can be very, I've said, oh God. Some people preach some kind of gospel. Anyway, let me not go there. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. Forgiveness of sin is gotten by acknowledgement of sin. That is, what God is saying is simply just accept. You were wrong, Abby. You do it again? No, sir. Was it bad that you did it? Yes. So this doing is a bad doing? Yes. This principle is wrong? Yes. And that is why it is possible to commit sin and not physically commit it. I don't know whether you hear what I said. You can be a sinner without doing anything wrong. All you need to do is watch television and agree that it is good to do that. And that's it, you're a sinner too. I don't know what I heard I said. Just people doing things, say, I don't blame them. Under the current circumstance that they find themselves in, a boy that does not have a job can go into Form 9. You have never defrauded anybody. You are a good and honest church deacon. But the time judgment for 419 comes, you will get a heavy portion. Why? Because one day you said, it is because of the economy. It is okay. Are you seeing my point? That is why, look,
with sin. Sin is not I did.
That's why Jesus came and said, listen, if you even think, if you hate your brother without a cause, that's you are liable. You haven't killed anybody. So when God wants to forgive, it's not go and undo it. That's not his own. Because the main issue was not what he did doing. It was the thinking. So once the thoughts are changed, once they are rearranged, you just say, no, this is wrong. That's it. And you kneel down and say, Lord, I thought like this, therefore I did like this. Now I am saying to you, I am sorry because I did this. I have recognized that this is wrong. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of the sin and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. Let me just say this again, although I feel I will be a bit beyond my scope for today, and I have to close shortly. When we talk about cleansing of all unrighteousness, forgiveness of sin, forgiveness is not just, okay, don't worry about it. You know, there's forgiveness, you understand? Uh-huh. Just that is, okay, I don't worry about it. It's good, that's forgiveness. But with God, it's beyond that. Forgiveness means, don't worry about it, I will take care of the consequences. I don't know what I get my point. It's not just, okay, forget it, I'm not asking you again. You understand? Okay, you threw the stone and you broke the glass of somebody's house. I'm sorry I threw the stone. All right? But the glass is still broken. When God says to you, I've forgiven you, what he's saying is that I will buy the glass and replace it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Forgiveness is not just, okay, overlook. No. It is an active introduction of a power to solve the consequences of the action. Please, don't forget that. I don't want to go into it now, all right? But what I said I will talk about today, which is what I call the law of illumination, which is why I read this, is that, you know, I began to talk about it last time, that there was something I used to do, and all my colleagues and I, we used to do it, and then one day I was reading the Bible, and the scriptures just made it clear that, listen, if you know a man can't see you, or he can't hear you, therefore you begin to rain, you know, curses on him because you know he can't hear. Therefore, that if you do that, you have fallen into iniquity. I read that scripture and I said, this thing that we have been doing is wrong. Are you getting my point? Just the reading of that scripture just tells us simply is wrong. And I said that the law of illumination, all right, let me talk about that. That's the conclusion. Just a few minutes and I'll be out of here. The law of illumination simply means that every man's ways are right in his own eyes, but as his fellowships with God the Father, he begins to show him, he begins to show her that which is actually wrong in their lives. And John was saying, it is not possible to walk with God, you understand my point, and not have a continual discovery of areas in your life where you need to make improvements. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, let me say this. We all have one problem or the other in life. Yes, I know some people say, by faith, praise God, I don't have any problem. Amen? Yeah, that's maybe you don't have any problem. But actually, you have a problem thinking like that. That's a matter of fact. What God just says, listen, you may not know it now, because if you have no problems at all, you'll be exactly what God created you to be right now. And as a matter of fact, you are not. Even Paul, after he had preached, he explained something. He said, I'm reaching forward towards a goal. Are you getting my point? You know, Mike Murdock says once that he heard a man speak, and the man said, he'd been in ministry for 40 years. If he had to do everything, he would do it the same way again. He said, it means you have learned nothing in 40 years. You can't tell me you know everything now, all right? You knew everything at the beginning that you know now. That you must have learned something over the last 40 years. And that's what I mean by we all have one problem or the other. But the Bible says that every man's way is right in his own eyes. That is, if you're there and saying, I have no problem, I'm not doing anything out of order. If I, Pastor Banky, stands up and tell you that, look, everything we are doing, Kingdom Word, is just perfect, and the way I'm doing my life is just perfect, it's just simply, I'm telling you simply, that I do not realize what it is that I'm doing wrong. It is, you see, I cannot be correct in every aspect. It is not possible. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. Now, I read a joke once. A woman said that, I heard our parents can't see anything wrong with their children. That's surprising. If my children had anything wrong with them, I would have seen it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, I am confirming just what is a common saying, that parents never see anything wrong with their children. And that's a matter of fact. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. And listen, one of the things you must understand, let me just explain this to you, how you relate with people, is that You know, my wife's not around today, she traveled. But I tell her all the time that, look, you want to change the world. All right, you will soon realize that you can't change the world. You know, my point. I realized it long ago. Before, I will argue with people and try to persuade them, but I've now come to an understanding that only God can persuade a man, only God can make a woman understand what the person needs to understand. A human being can't do it. If I think I'm right, you know why I think I'm right? Because I actually think I'm right. I don't know what I get my point. And you look, only God can open my eyes so that I will see that which is wrong. Please, the opening of the eyes is a very important spiritual principle. It's called wisdom. People can be, look, when God called Isaiah, the first thing he told him, he said, go and render the ears of these people dull. He said to them, hear and don't understand. See and don't perceive. And that was it. Isaiah will be telling them things that are going to happen. They won't understand it. He'll be speaking in what will appear to you and me as clear language. They won't be able to, that is, they can't make sense out of anything that the man is saying. Why? It's a spiritual principle. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you understanding. What am I saying? We've talked about the law of release. Remember? What's the law of release? Confess your sins. Acknowledge your iniquities. Then God takes that thing out of your life and cures you of the consequences. And this is what I'm making. Where you are right now, there are things that you are doing wrongly. There are thoughts you are thinking wrongly. There are things you hold on to rigidly. It's the reason why you have been on one spot for the last 3 years. And listen, get ready for another 10 years on that spot until that thought pattern changes. Life is spiritual. You know, we keep on saying it. We tackle things from a spiritual perspective. We don't tackle them from a physical perspective. Life is what? Spiritual. Listen, the outward play in your life is directed by spiritual forces. Once there was a woman, a man called them and said to them simply, the Holy Spirit said, I should tell you, forgot exactly what the exact words he used. So that the reason why you have not been able to conceive is that you are very rude to your husband. That's all. That you are too disrespectful. Doctors can investigate from that to tomorrow. And let me tell you something. They will find something. What did I say? They will find something. You know, I'm a pathologist. Some people come and say that when I first came to Enugu that time, yes, they heard that there's a man who can find out why somebody died. The Holy Spirit gave me one wisdom one day. Once people come and he's talking to me, somebody died, they need to have an autopsy done and all of that. I said, please, I hope you know if it's witchcraft. I won't find it. I'm not kidding. Do you know most times they go and they don't come back? I said, I will not find the witch. I will not find the craft. But I will find the weapon of the witchcraft, which in medicine is called a disease. So the witches can gather and say, hey, he go die today. Oh, he's falling down now. Oh. And the man will die. Go and read John G. Lake's story. He saw a man that they gathered to do juju for. And the man began to have, anyway, he was having a heat stroke. Because he went to go and watch. He quickly jumped down from his horse, prayed for the man, and the man was delivered. The man would have died, and the doctor would have certified that this man died of circulatory failure following this. And they will give it to you. It's called the weapon used by the witch. It does not change the fact that the real cause is what? Spiritual. What did I say? It's spiritual. The real cause is spiritual. People hang around one spot. God says, listen, it is because of the way you are thinking. And that's why one of the prayers, and that's what I'm leading us into again, one of the prayers you must pray all the time is the prayer of Elihu. Quickly open to it. Let's just read it. Job 34. He said, verse 31. He said, for has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. He said, teach thou me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Teach thou me what I do not see. Everybody, please read it out. Teach thou me what I do not see. He said, if I have done, that's why he put the word if, because he wouldn't know if he does not know. Are you getting my point? If he does not know it is wrong, he would not know that he has done wrong. But it does not mean it is wrong. It does not mean it is not wrong. There was something that Jesus said once. He said, the servant that knows to do good and does not do it will be given many stripes. But the one that does not know to do good and therefore does not do it will get few stripes. He didn't say will not get any stripes. Many people are suffering the consequences of things that they are doing, and the thing is injecting death into their system. Deliverance is in enlightenment. Deliverance is when God gives them information. That is, the law of release is tied to the law of illumination. Until you have illumination, you can't go for release. That's what I'm trying to explain. Abimelech took Abraham's wife. Can you remember the story? And God said, this guy is a good man. He shouldn't just die like this. So one day he was sleeping, and God shows up in a dream and said, oh boy, you're a dead man. The guy said, dead? Why? You know me? He said, you took a prophet's wife. And you know what God said to him? No, what he said to God, you know how I deal with integrity? I do everything that is right. I don't do that which is wrong. God said, I know. And that is why I have come to tell you. That is, the fact that you were doing it in integrity does not change the fact that it will kill you. What your integrity is buying for you is this information I've come to give you. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, your integrity is buying you information. It's buying you time. It didn't say I'm going to kill you. It said you're dead. You're dead already. You don't die. The moment you took the woman, you were made there on the spot. I just suspended the death. It's over your head. Why? Because I know you're a man of integrity. Therefore, I have come to give you information. By that time, all the women in the house were already suffering. You know that. All disease had entered into the home. It's called few stripes. He did not know. But they were already suffering the stripes. They were already being flogged one after the other. Then God gave him what? Information. That is why it's important you pray in your life every day. That which I do not see, teach me. Listen, many times people are suffering for things that they are buying with their hands. They don't even know those things are out of order. And that is why you have to go for Bible studies like this evening. So that you will hear information and your life will be transformed. There are people that, listen, you know, that's why I dislike, listen, I will say it to you straight. If you go to a church where they pray against your enemies every day, you are going to a church that's not blessing you. I think you should stop. I'm not kidding about that. You know, did I mention the name of your church? I didn't mention it. But if you go to church, all your problems is your enemies, you have been deceived. You know why you have been deceived? Your pastor is also deceived. He does not know. Go back and tell him that they said to you, your enemies are not the problem. Go and read the script. People wake up in the morning. You know, what I'm saying this is that they keep on fighting these enemies. The problem does not go away. Why? Because the problem is not a problem of enemies. It's a problem of Abimelech taking Abraham's wife, not knowing that she was Abraham's wife. But the whole household is suffering because Abimelech did not know. I did not know is not good enough an excuse. Are you getting my point? That one only buys one thing for you, God's patience and information. And God will now give it to you so that you can now do the law of release. The moment they told him this is the issue, he said, I'm sorry. You know, I don't do things like this. Instantly, and you know, Abraham had a lot of fault in it. Many people are blaming the country for how they are living their lives. Fine. Be blaming Abraham for telling you lies. Everything in Nigeria is their excuse why they are doing what they are doing. It's called, I'm coining a word for it now. It's called justifying taking a man's wife because of the prophet's lie. You will still die. One thing, you know, I say all the time, I think I said it last time. Let me say it again. One thing you must never do in life is make excuses. Just acknowledge. What did I say? Just acknowledge. That's what I said. What did I say? Just acknowledge. That's it. Making excuses does not work. Because everybody has the reason why he's doing what he's doing. Does not make it right. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. The law of illumination. This is the duty we have as believers. We must go for understanding. And we must pray for understanding. Because you know, the story I told you last time, until the scriptures I was reading, actually, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see that this thing you guys are doing, all right, is out of order. I did not realize it. But the moment I read it in the scriptures, I simply acknowledged that was, and I called one of my friends. I said, CEO, read this particular scripture. He happens to be a believer also. I remember he said, my God, that this Bible is deep. That he didn't cross his mind that this was not good until we saw it in the word of God. No wonder it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and illumination unto my path. It shows me where to put my feet and where not to put them. That is the law of illumination. Before you can go for the law of release, you must have understanding. And let me say to you again, this is why, listen, I say, look, Christians, you can't afford to be mentally lazy. What did I say? You can't afford to be mentally lazy. You can't. I think the major problem in Christianity is this mental laziness. People don't want to sit down and listen. Just go there and pray. Shout. This year, it is over. 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 You say that one like 21,000 times. It does not make it over. If the thing that is keeping it there is there, it is not over. Are you getting my point? If you have understanding, you have insight, and you break the power of whatever it is that's keeping it there, once it is over, we solve the whole problem. I say it all the time. A young man is planning to get married. A young woman is planning to get married. Or you are married. Please. You must. Look. You can't say this is how they always did it. My friends do it like this. My father said this. Look. If the scriptures don't say that, you will be injecting death into your marriage. Whichever way you are doing it, that the scripture did not say, that's the way to do it. A young man just leaving school, beginning to earn money for the first time. The word of God has clear things to do with money. If you don't do it like that, you know, my pastor said something once, that's Pastor Kojin Lagos. He said, you may know what you have gained, but you won't know what you have lost. Many people are doing things that are losing for them. You understand my point? They are losing on a daily basis, but they don't know. They don't know. They can't even confess that this is wrong so that God can pour grace into their lives so as to help them change. They don't have any understanding. They don't know. But it is our duty to go for understanding. That's what I'm saying. That's my message today. This is summary of it. Let me summarize at the end. You know, you don't know, only distinguishes the number of stripes you will get from plenty. That's the small one from the plenty one. But get stripes, you will get. You cannot confess it out of your life and operate what we call the law of release until you have understanding. Your duty as a believer is to constantly pray for illumination. That's why I call it the law of illumination. Until you have understanding, or until you know that this is what it's supposed to be, you cannot utter words to God so as to take it out of your life. That's what I'm saying. And don't forget, there's a reason why you are where you are right now. There are many reasons. Sometimes there are very good reasons. Other times, when I say good reasons, for example, Jesus was in the wilderness for a while. Was it a good thing or a bad thing? Okay, now we don't know how to answer. Yes, I don't blame you. It was not feeling good, but it was good and necessary. You understand what I'm saying? Israel was in the wilderness for a period. Was it a good thing or a bad thing? Let me answer. If they had been there for just a few days, it would have been a good thing. But staying there for 40 years was bad. Do you get my point? But why were they there for 40 years? Because of what? Unbelief. Listen, let me just say this and I close with it. It's a simple thing. If you feel stagnated, go and pray. That which I do not see, teach me. Like I say, sometimes it is that God, the simplest of the understandings you will get is God say you are not stagnated. You are moving. You know, God can tell you that. You may think you are stagnated, but you are moving. I remember I have a personal testimony there. Immediately after my youth service, I was persuaded at the time that there was a problem. But just for a short period. Oh no, let me put it like this. If you look at it from outside, you will look and say, this guy is not going anywhere. I looked for work I did not find. Physically, there was a day I got a job, they took it from me the next day. I just finished NYC. I'm a young medical doctor, just finished NYC. But I say it all the time, and it's a matter of fact. It was just about 8 months, 9 months. But if you are sitting down here today listening to me, it's because of that 8, 9 months. If that period did not happen, If it did not happen, we won't be here today. I just finished your service. And God said, where are you going? You want to go and work? I've not finished training you yet. So, physically speaking, I wasn't doing anything. But if you look at it closely, I say it like this. In 8 months, I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone for over 500 hours. One man. I didn't count Kenny Higgin, Mike Murdock. I didn't count Derek Prince. I didn't count any other person. Just one man. All the money I had, the little money I had, I used them to buy books and tapes. I did not get a certificate at that period for having gone to Bible school. But trust me, I got a spiritual certificate. That's what I mean by you may appear stagnated and God says, you are not stagnated. You are in a particular phase. Other times, God says, you are stagnated. You are seriously stagnated. You have been circling this Mount Seir long enough. It is time to turn and move northwards. You understand? But why can't you turn? Why are you just going round and round in circles? Because there is a stronghold that is holding you down. My time is up, so I can't really begin to analyze that. Strongholds are thought patterns, and they manifest in behavioral patterns. That's what strongholds are. They are what? Thought patterns, but they manifest in behavioral patterns. That's what strongholds are. There are people that don't believe that God can take care of their future. Therefore, the way they run after money is an embarrassment to heaven. Everything must be converted to cash. If they meet somebody today, it's converting the relationship to cash. If you dash them something, they will sell it for cash. If you give them something, they will convert. Everything must be converted to money. Why? They don't believe. Because, you know, if you have faith in God, there's a way you don't do things. They don't believe that God has hold of their future. So that stronghold of unbelief is manifesting in their physical love for money. And God says, he that loves money will never have enough of it. The guy will look, if you just sit down one day and ask the guy, all this you're running around doing deals and everything after these 6 years, what has it gotten you more than this car that breaks down every day? It has cost relationships. Everybody that, look, you don't have any friend that's more than 2 years old that is with you. All your friends are 2 years or younger. Because by the third year, they have seen, you have shown to them you can't be trusted with money. It's not like you don't really think you love money. You're just afraid. Your father wasn't rich. You remember how you and your brother suffered, and you have vowed it will not happen again. Except that does not mean anything. It will happen again and again. If you don't want it to happen again, what do? You go to Jabez size style. We have completed the gospel. It's actually much easier than we think. You just take a chair, kneel down in the corner. It's 5 minutes. Kneel down. Lord, remember, there was a time I was so hungry, I cried. And I was only 12. It's not good. I don't want it to happen to my children. Please don't let it happen to my children. Thank you very much. You get up and live a normal life. Believe me, you'll be rich. Anybody who loves money will be poor. It's worse when they are Christians. Any Christian that loves money will never have. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What am I saying? Strongholds. Sometimes we don't know it's there. That's why that's the preaching. So I said, sometimes sit down and just go think it. Because what the Holy Spirit does at times like this is that it just brings up something in your mind. Sometimes we say that, hey, some people come and say, I think there's a curse working in my life. There's a curse working in my life. The last 5 men that showed interest in me, good brothers, though, usually after like 6 weeks of the relationship, something will just go wrong. This is the problem with Christians. They now go, somebody will now pray, which village are you from? Oh, there is a Mami Water Spirit that was trying to cross from the River Niger to the Atlantic. It got stuck on the way. Your village is around that axis. We will break the power today. Once you believe it, you're in trouble. Listen, if you're a child of God, it's a fat lie. What did I say? If you're a child of God, it is a fat lie. No Mami Water Spirit is disturbing you. Go home and pray. It is a simple thing. Listen, let me tell you the truth. It's a stronghold that's manifesting your behavioral pattern. Call those 6 men. You will see they have the same complaint against you. All of them. You can't change the behavior. You can only change what? The thought pattern. And how you do it is, you kneel down, you pray. Once the word of God enters, he alters it. As it was for women, it was for men like that also. Ah, Pastor, you won't believe. I think there's a custom. They swear for my grandpapa, say all the sons no go married. How your papa take born you? I've warned you. I've warned you. All these people that are always analyzing your genealogies to minister to you, they are deceiving you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anybody that sits you down to analyze the genealogy of your family to break a power of the devil over your head does not know the power of Christ. Sit down, come. Any old woman in your village, please show me one village that does not have one old woman. Some people are not happy with this, your progress. And you think that's revelation? Have you ever seen any man that everybody is happy with his progress? It pains me because people are deceived every day. That's why I keep on saying this thing. He prepares a table before me. Have you ever heard that say, he first killed all of them first so that I can chop a load? He prepares a table before me in the presence. Let them be alive and well. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Forget, you're not cursed. You know, I keep on saying that. There's no curse working in your life. None. Just get to that point and say, Lord, please, oh. There's an issue. What is it? That which I do not know, teach thou of me. And sometimes you see it so simply. God will just say, you have an Islamic mentality towards women. So what do I call Islamic mentality? Men are created by God. Women are a mistake. Now that's Islamic mentality. Taliban mentality. Taliban believes that a woman shouldn't go to school. And God said, okay, I know you are not a Muslim. I know you are not in Afghanistan, neither are you in Pakistan. You are in Nigeria, you go to church. But that thing is in your medulla oblongata. It just releases itself once in a while. In small comments you pass, in your attitude, there are people who still say, can you believe I was talking? That woman also got up and spoke. He has a BSc. That woman has a PhD. He's 28. The woman is 42. But he still believes. He's deep inside his heart. And he's wondering why no woman won't marry him. Who they Chris? According to Mike Murdock, it is perverse for a man to pursue pain. The woman has seen you. No. Now this one. Thank you very much. In Jesus' name, I remain single. I had to marry this one. And you know the thing is that unless God reveals it to you, you'll just be carrying that fibrotic disorder of your medulla oblongata about. You don't realize it. The thing is causing problems all around you. Because in Christianity, it's a fat lie. They are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, whether they are male or female. That's what the Bible says. You don't realize that because no, I ain't giving any of my daughters. Forget it. They are too good. I don't want any man that will treat them like Osama bin Laden or any of his brothers. You know the way some of our guys on that side, they treat women. Because no, I won't let that continue. Your great-grandfather did it, taught your grandfather, taught your father, and you have learnt it. You want to carry it into the church? I will soon shoot somebody. So as to prevent me shooting somebody, let me just leave you the way you are. Are you getting what I'm saying? The law of what? Illumination. So we can enter into that of release. Now, I stop. Amen? I'm stopping now. Let's bow down our heads. We are sharing the grace. Father, we thank you for your word that has come for today, that has been a blessing to every one of us. We thank you. May your name be glorified in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray one simple prayer for everyone who is present here, listen to this voice or listen to this on a tape, on CD, on the internet, wherever it is, or somebody's even reporting it. Give that person illumination in that area where he's been circling the mountain and not moving anywhere in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, every man's way you said is right in his own eyes. Lord, but the word of God is living and active, able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, reveal by your word the thoughts and the intents of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, let's not suffer like Abimelech because we are doing that which we do not know is out of order. Have mercy and give us revelation in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your word manifest in breakthrough for everyone present and listening to it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare to you that safety is your portion in Jesus' name. As you go home, the peace of God is with you. And when you get to that house, say to that house, peace be upon this home. And listen, the sick in that house will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cherub brethren, the word works. God bless you.